standing for the epistle lesson, which comes from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. This is the word of God. It is true. Now remain standing for the hymn, Be Strong in the Lord. We'll sing all verses, and it'll be on the screen.
Thank you all for being so gracious to Matt last week. Thank you for that. And I want to thank you too for your graciousness to me for letting me be gone. I know it's a busy time of year and it kind of snuck up on me. But last Sunday afternoon, my grandmother went to be with Jesus. And I was hiking that day up in some of the most beautiful mountains I've ever seen. And it was the perfect place to be when I found that out. It was 10 years to the day that my mother died. And it's just absolutely beautiful how that book ended. And so I'm just thankful. I felt the urging of the Lord to go, and I didn't have the faith to go. I'm like, money, Lord, this is a really bad time. What am I going to do? And just really felt his urging. And looking back on it, we don't ever know the fullness of what God's doing, but he was in that. And so I really, really, really appreciate the freedom that you guys gave to me and being able to go. We buried my grandmother on Friday, and so it was a life well lived. She was 96 years old, and so it's bittersweet, but so thank you. And Abby and I were talking, you're probably going to be seeing some pictures on the overhead and stuff. It was some of those beautiful. I always debate, and you may do too, do I like mountains or do I like the ocean? And I tend to like whatever I've been to last, but I would have to say that mountains may win out for me. So again, thank you. I'm trying to think if that's all that I need to announce. I think so. It's good to be back. Today is the first Sunday in Advent, and there are different traditions with the Advent candles. As I was praying about last night, like, what am I going to do for the next several weeks? I think I'm really going to follow the theme of one of the themes of the tradition of the Advent candles. And today is hope. And there's different ones. There's the angel, they do the, Bethlehem and shepherd's candle, angel candle, and all that. I'm going to do kind of more broad, and the one for today, this is the hope candle. And next week we'll be doing the faith candle, and it's joy and peace. And so I'm going to kind of be building sermons around that. And Advent is a season. It comes from the Latin Adventus, which means coming. And so during Advent, we remember the first coming of Jesus, and we look forward to the second coming of Jesus. So today, and probably next Sunday, and maybe even the Sunday after that, I'm not sure yet, we're really going to be talking about the second coming of Jesus as we prepare for that. I haven't done a lot of sermons on the second coming of Jesus, but how many of you know that he is coming soon? He's coming soon, and I think it's good just to revisit that. And next week we're going to look at what Jesus and the Gospels had to say about him coming back. But today, and one of the dangers about not preaching 2 weeks is I come back really full, and so I hope you all brought your lunch, because we're going to go through the entire book of Revelation, man. Here we go. We're going to look at the end, just the end chapter of the book of Revelation. And earlier this year, I did several sermons on Revelation, and I may revisit some of that after the first of the year. Again, I'm praying about that. But in Revelation 22, we have the last words of Jesus. It's the last words of Jesus. And last words are important. Somebody's dying, we listen to their last words. Or if people, aren't maybe, able to speak or whatever, we often remember the last words we heard those people speak. So the last words are incredibly important. And it's even more profound in the book of Revelation, because it's the last words that we have recorded of Jesus, and it's the last words in the Bible. It's the end of the book. And so we're going to look at that. What are the last words of Jesus, and what are the practical implications of that in our lives? The psalm that I wanted to have read this morning for the lighting of the Advent candle, it's Psalm 65. He's the hope of all the ends of the earth. And him coming back is a fulfillment of hope. And Peter says in 1 Peter that we've been begotten again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Because he rose from the dead, he is coming back. And so, what are the last words of Jesus? And so what? What does it mean for us? Revelation chapter 22, verses 6 through 21. Pray with me. Father, we thank you. That you're alive. And because you have been raised from the dead, Lord, you're trustworthy. And I pray that we would hear your words today, the last words you spoke in the Bible. I pray we would hear, that you would speak to us. We would have eyes to see. We would have ears to hear. We would have hearts to respond. to what your Spirit is saying to us today. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would anoint your word, that you would anoint me, the messenger, Lord, that I would be focused and not preach for an hour, and Lord, just focused, and that I would have the words to say, to fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. We thank you, Lord, for living hope. We thank you, Lord, that heaven is a real place. We thank you, Lord, that you truly are coming back. And I pray that we would be ready. Anoint me to preach. Anoint all of us to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. Look for a theme as I read this. Note the repetition. Revelation 22, verses 6 through 21. And he said to me, "These words are trustworthy and true. And the Lord, the God of the Spirit of the prophets, has sent his angel to show his servants what must soon take place. And behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I heard and saw them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed them to me. But he said to me, 'You must not do that. I'm a fellow servant with you and your brothers, the prophets, and with those who keep the words of this book. Worship God.' And he said to me, 'Do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near. Let the evil doers still do evil, and the filthy still be filthy, and the righteous still do right, and the holy still be holy. Behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me to repay everyone for what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, so that they may have the right to the tree of life, and that they may enter the city by the gates. Outside are the dogs and sorcerers and the sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, 'Come.' And the one who hears says, 'Come.' And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of the prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. He who testifies to these things says, 'Surely I am coming soon.' Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all. Amen." Three times he hints at it, another time fourth, but three times very clearly he says, "Behold, I am coming soon." He is coming soon. And it reminds me of Revelation chapter 1, preached in that early in my time with you last year. I just want you to flip back, because it's a beautiful bookend to what he says in Revelation chapter 1. If you flip in your Bibles, look at Revelation 1, 4 through 8. John is speaking. Love hearing those pages turn. John says in verse 5, "To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. Even so, amen. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Behold, he is coming with the clouds." If y'all ever looked up at that window up there, I get to see it every Sunday when I preach. It's Jesus. He's coming back on the clouds. And that's what it says. So it starts, John introduces this book. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's a faithful witness. He's been raised from the dead. He's coming. And Jesus at the end of the book says, "Behold, I am coming soon." Says it in 1, says it in chapter 22. and been preaching to you about the kingdom. And if there's a kingdom, there is a king. He's a king. Messiah, that word Messiah. Jesus is the Messiah. We celebrate that, this, and we remember that this time of the year. He's the Messiah. The Greek of that is Christ. What does that mean? It means he's king. He's king. And they missed him the first time because they had a really small box of what they thought Messiah was going to be. They thought he was going to be a political king. And Jesus is so much bigger than that. And many missed him when he came the first time. But we're not going to miss him when he comes the second time, because he's coming on the clouds. Every knee is going to bow. The king is coming. The Messiah, the Christ. He is the king. And one of the beautiful images in the book of Revelation that just fills that out for us, I spoke to you about this. You've heard me preach it before, so I'm not going to spend a long time on that. But the image that we see of Jesus in Revelation 1, look at it. Revelation 1, verse 12. I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me, and on turning, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the lampstands, one like a son of man, clothed with a long robe, a golden sash around his chest. The hairs of his head were white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze refined in a furnace, and his voice was like the roar of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars. From his mouth comes a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in full brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. That's not Sunday school Jesus. That's Jesus in glory. And it's remnants from Daniel chapter 7. You guys remember that? Daniel has a vision, Daniel chapter 7. And he says, I saw the Ancient of Days take his seat. His clothing was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was fiery flames, its wheels burning with fire. Daniel was describing God. He was describing Yahweh. And this image here in Revelation 1 is Jesus is the Ancient of Days. He's God in the flesh. He is the King. He is the King. And so we see that in Revelation 1, and that's all filled out for us in the book of Revelation, who Jesus really is. And you remember when I preached on that, Revelation 1:1 is the apocalypsis, the revelation, the unveiling of Jesus Christ. It's not revelations. It's not. It's the unveiling of him. The book of Revelation is about Jesus. It's about him. So we see him in glory. And what else do we see? The king is coming. Who is this king? He's God in the flesh. And in Revelation chapter 4, we see this one sitting on the throne. And God is not like us. He's not like us. He sees God, and John is struggling for words. Verse 3, he who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian, and around the throne was a rainbow. And he's talking about a rainbow and lightnings and all of it. It's reminiscent of the law in Exodus, the giving of the law in Exodus. But God is not like us. God is holy. He's set apart. And God is worthy. And we see in Revelation chapter 5, and I told you it was all about images, Old Testament images. And he turns, he said, look, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And he turns, and what does he see? He sees a lamb standing as if it had been slain. Image of Jesus Christ crucified. Completely awesome. The king is coming. The king is coming. And then, what do we know? Who has control of all human history? We have these beautiful images. And then in Revelation chapter 5, it talks about a scroll. Who is worthy to take the scroll and open its seals? That scroll is a symbol of all human history. Jesus holds all human history. He has it. He knows what's going on. He is in control. Remember when we sang he's got the whole world in his hands? Yeah, he has it. He has it. And it feels oftentimes like things are completely out of control, isn't it? I purposed in my heart not to have Facebook on my phone. I deleted Facebook from my phone. I didn't watch any news. I was like, it just, as I was reading it going out there, I was like, this is nuts, man. What is going on? What's going on there? And it's just crazy. And so I'm like, I'm just turning it all off. Turning it all off. We need to remember. Sometimes we need to disengage, and we need to remember in the chaos of this world that he holds all human history in his hands. The king is coming. He's bigger than you think. He's holy. He's worthy. He's not like us. He doesn't sit up there and wring his hands. He knows what's going on. He knows what's going on. He's with us. He sent his Holy Spirit. He's walking the journey of life with us. And he's in control. He's in control. What I didn't preach on at the beginning of the year is what begins to happen in Revelation 6, 7, 8, 9, all throughout. What happens in those books? In those chapters? All hell breaks loose. All hell breaks loose. There are a lot of theories about Revelation and what all of the unveiling of the seals and the trumpets and the bowls and all of that's being poured out. You hear pre-trib, you hear post-trib. All of that is late. People didn't start talking about that till the 1800s. What makes the most sense is that we're in that right now. It's going on. We're in it right now. It's like a woman in childbirth, that when the seals are poured out and the trumpets and the bowls, does a woman just all of a sudden, boom, have a baby? No, there are hours, there are days. If everything goes right, there are days that the body is preparing itself for birth, and it's a process. There's cycles to it. And it goes through a process, and as that baby's getting close to be born, there's travail and there's pain, and that baby's finally delivered. The thing that makes the most sense to me is that we are in this right now. And the things being poured out and the world just kind of going crazy, that all of this, we're in it. We're in it right now. And Jesus is coming. He is coming. And when you come down to Revelation 19, Jesus is the judge of all the earth. And the time that we're living in now is we need to be ready. We need to be ready because the judge, he wants to be our savior too. And we can stand before him spotless through his blood. But Jesus is the judge. Just want to read with you Revelation 19, 11 through 16. In his glory, in his majesty, when he comes back, Revelation 19, 11 through 16. I saw seven opened, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many crowns. And he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on a white horses. I just want to stop there just a second. Jesus is coming, and the army is arrayed. And while we wait for him to come, oftentimes we feel like we're in a battle. And what happens to us oftentimes is when things get hard, we tend to get weighed down, or we feel like, oh, I got to fight, I got to push through. And yet, what is the army behind Jesus? Are they doing anything? They're just riding with him. Y'all, while we wait for the coming of Jesus, we don't fight the battle. We don't fight the devil. We stand in the victory that Jesus has already won. We sang a song that Be Strong in the Lord is right out of the book of Ephesians, talking about the armor of God. It doesn't say we fight. It says stand. And when you've done everything, stand. Stand firm then, and it puts on the armor, and every piece of that armor is Jesus. The belt of truth. Who's the belt of truth? Jesus. The breastplate of righteousness. What's our breastplate of righteousness? Jesus. Put on the shoes of the gospel of peace. Who paid the price so that we can have peace with God? Jesus. Take up your shield of faith, which extinguishes all the flaming arrows of the evil one. What's our shield of faith? Jesus. Helmet of salvation. Who's our salvation? Jesus. And take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Who is the word of God? Jesus. Jesus. These people behind Jesus, they're just riding with him, resting in the victory that he's already done. It's beautiful. We need to remember that. We don't have to fight the devil. We just stand in the victory that Jesus has already won. Armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The King is coming, and he will bring recompense. What that means is he's bringing justice. I talked to you about the Lord's Prayer a few weeks ago. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who forgive. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those. And the whole thing with forgiveness, it's hard to forgive, but there's coming a day we forgive, we let it go. But Jesus, if it's not under the blood, he's going to bring judgment and justice, and he's going to make things right. Amen? That's good news. All the injustices, he's going to make it right. The King is coming. He's going to bring justice, and we get right with him now. We're sensitive to him now. We let him cleanse us now because he's coming, and he's coming in great glory, and everything that's not under his blood, he's going to make it right. He's going to make it right. It's beautiful. He's coming. He's coming. The letters to the seven churches in Revelation 2 and 3. You remember those? Remember those letters? In all seven of those letters that are letters that are, it's a symbol of all churches for all time. Jesus comes and he appears to each one and he commends them. He commends them for what they've done right. And then what's he do? To most of them, he brings correction. And he says, you know what? I hold this against you. To the church at Ephesus, he said, you've lost your first love. Repent and do what you did at first. To the church at Laodicea, he said, I'm about to spit you all out of my mouth. You're lukewarm. You kind of give me a, you make me nauseous. Repent. Repent. And so he brings encouragement, but he also brings correction. And we're living in a time before he comes back. Judgment begins. Peter says in 1 Peter 4, he says, judgment begins in the house of the Lord. We live in a culture, we don't like to talk a lot about judgment. But we need to be sensitive to him. And as he brings correction to us through his word, through his Holy Spirit, that's good. It's like a parent disciplining a child. He wants to make us holy as he is holy. So we need to listen to him. Psalm 95. That was my reading of this week. First Sunday in Advent, Psalm 95. And God is saying to the children, he's saying in that psalm, he said, today if you hear your voice, don't harden your heart. He's talking about the children of Israel when they were just grumbling, complaining. And they didn't enter the promised land because they doubted. And there's times that we doubt, but he's coming. We don't need to resist him. We need to take his correction and let him line us up and make us more into the image of Jesus. Those letters to the seven churches are important because they remind us that we need to, that he's shaping us. We need to be sensitive to him. The most oft repeated command in the book of Revelation is to the one who conquers, to the one who overcomes. The Lord knows that it's hard. As I gave the eulogy for my grandmother on Friday, my grandmother suffered more loss than anybody that I ever know. She lost 4 of her 5 children. She lived to be 96. She's lost 4 of her 5 children. One was a baby that she lost. One was her oldest son was tragic, died of a broken heart out in Wyoming, went hiking, and he died out there. He was a doctor in Chicago, and he was like 30 years old, 35, not maybe 35. Tragic. A daughter died of multiple sclerosis with 2 young children. Just tragic, the tragedies that my grandmother endured. And as I grew up and just could begin to appreciate that, I was like, but my grandmother always had joy. She's one of my heroes because my grand wasn't a fake joy. It wasn't something she plastered on her face. But through tears, grandma wasn't ashamed to cry. But there was always joy with my grandmother. The Lord held her and sustained her. And so she's one of those that I can look back on and say, she conquered. To the one who conquers, to the one who doesn't give up, to the one who hangs in there, to the one who stands on the promises of God, to the one that believes even when things are bad and we hold on to the promises of the word, don't give up. Don't give up. And so that's the admonition. And so as we see Jesus as Yahweh, God in the flesh, you see throughout the book of Revelation, things are going to get hard, and it's going to get harder, and it's going to get harder, and it's going to get harder. But what happens? He's coming, and it's worth it. And he's faithful, and he's true, and he's going to make everything right. What must we do? The King is coming. And you all, we need to keep getting together. The writer of Hebrews says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, for the time is near. When we isolate ourselves, what happens? We get discouraged. We need to continue to meet together. We need to stand on the promises of the word of God. We need to believe the word. We need to get in there. We need to turn off the TV and turn off the anger, turn off the slander, turn it all off and get in the word. What does the word of God say? We don't need to be ignorant about what's going on in the world, but we need to spend our time getting more in the word than we do listening to the world, because the time is short. And Jesus, I'm going to preach about this next week, but just a preview, Jesus said, in the last days, the love of most is going to grow cold. How do we keep our love from growing cold? We stay in the word. We fill our minds with worship. Turn off the TV and turn on some worship. Let it wash over us. When we're struggling, we need to talk to one another. We need to pray together. We need to share our hearts. Hey, I'm struggling here. I'm discouraged here. I need help. We need to pray together. But you know what else? Beautiful promise here. We need to do all of those things. But the promise of God, Paul writes, and he says, I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. God who has started a good work in you, he's going to finish it. He's going to finish it because his name is faithful and true. In Jude, the last 2 verses of the book of Jude say, now to him who's able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, now and forever. He's able to keep you from falling. Amen? It's beautiful. We have hope this morning because Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead. And he is faithful and he is true. And he is coming back and he's going to set everything right. He wants to bring correction to us. He wants to line us up into the image of Jesus. All of us have flaws and areas of our life that we need to be more like Jesus. And we need to heed that. We need to be sensitive to his correction. But he loves us. And he's coming back for us. And my grandmother's faith became sight last Sunday. What she had hoped for, she now sees face to face. And that's real. And that's true. And we have a great reward in heaven if we but endure and we don't give up. The King is coming. The King is coming. We're going to sing, Shine, Jesus, Shine. And if there is discouragement or you're just really struggling, just as we sing this song, say, Jesus, I need you to shine in my heart. I need you to shine in my situation because I'm discouraged, but he's coming back. The King is coming, and he's going to make everything right. Father, I thank you that you are faithful and you are true. We thank you that you are the hope of the ends of the earth. And Lord, we pray that we would endure, that we would conquer. Lord, that we would stand, that we would be strong in you. Lord, that sometimes we get discouraged, sometimes we fall down. And Lord, I thank you that your Holy Spirit's there to pick us up. Lord, we need our brothers and sisters. Help us, Lord, to lean on you heavy and to ask for help and prayer when we need it. But Lord, I thank you that it's not trite, but Lord, you're coming. You're coming. You are coming in great glory. Behold, I'm coming soon. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Lord, I pray that that would be the cry of our heart, that we would cry out with your Holy Spirit, that we would long for you, that we would hunger for you, and the cry of our heart would be even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Please stand and let's sing, Shine, Jesus, Shine. Grant, O Lord, that what has been said with our lips, we may believe in our hearts, and that what we believe in our hearts, we may practice in our lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. As we gaze on your kingly brightness, so our faces display your likeness, ever changing from glory to glory, mirrored here, may our lives tell the story. Shine on me. God, that's our prayer. Lord, I pray we would be a people who gaze in your beauty, gaze into your eyes of fire. Help us to turn off the garbage and turn you on and gaze into your eyes. Give us eyes to see, ears to hear more of you. Pour out your glory, Lord. And may I thank you that we get to participate with you in the coming of your kingdom. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Change us. Thank you, Lord, we have hope. May we overflow with hope by the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.